Okay. We're going to open up to the Rambam in Hilchos Maisa Karbonos. Yesh Rechalam Shlosha V'Esher Mitzvahs. It's very unusual that the Rambam codifies 23 mitzvahs in one section in Hilchos Maisa Karbonos. He divides them up into two categories: Mitzvah Seh, Mitzvah Lo Seh, Esher Mitzvah Seh, U'Shlosha Seh Mitzvos Lo Seh. And here's where the Rambam codifies the mitzvah of bringing karbonos. In the past, we've already pointed out that the Rambam doesn't single out shechita in defining the mitzvah. He always uses either the term lasos or lahakriv. And lasos lahakriv indicate the various avodos that make up the avodas hakarbon, lav dafka shechita. Only in Hilchos Karban Pesach, the Rambam formulates a mitzvah of shechita. With regard to ola, the Rambam has a separate mitzvah of asiyas ha'ola. He also has a los aser that enjoins us from eating basar ola, because ola is kulo kolil, it has to be completely burnt. Then he has chatos, and again there's something called a chatos pnimis, which is brought not in the Azorah, but rather in the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and there the Basar is not allowed to be eaten. It has a similar status to that of an Ola. The Ram has Osham as a separate mitzvah. He's got Achilas Kohanim as a separate mitzvah. Strangely enough, he isolates that to Basar Kodesh Kodshe Kodshim, which means Chatos Osham, Ola, etc., and he doesn't extend it to include Shlomim, to include other Kodshim, where the Kohen eats it. So that itself is a discussion that we've had in the past. Then the Rambam in Number Chaf, he has a general mitzvah, Lahakriv Kol HaKarbonos Bebeis HaBechira. And it would seem that Hakravas Ola and Hakravas Chatos get special separate countings in the mitzvahs. In the Taryag, he's got Shlomim as well, and then he has a general mitzvah of Lahakriv Kol HaKarbonos B'Beis HaBechira. So the question is, why does the Rambam need a general mitzvah if he already has specific mitzvahs? And this is the Rambam in his introduction to Hilchos Maisa HaKarbonos. The Rambam goes on in the Pnim to differentiate between Karban Yachid and Karban Tzibur. For example, the Rambam writes, Kol HaKarbonos Shalmine Nefesh Chai, of animals, they can be taken from five different species, which he delineates here, the Karbonos, where the Karbonos Tzibur or Yachid, they fall into four categories, Ola, Chatos, Oshim, Shlomim, because the Rambam has subcategorized under Shlomim. He's got Pesach, Bechor, and Maaseh. Interesting how the Rambam omits Karban Todah here. That has to be understood. Now, let's fast forward to Perek Dalet, Mehilchos Maisa Karbonos. The Rambam, in the first four prokim, has gone into detail about the specific avodos of all the Karbonos, and which Karbonos need smicha, which do not need smicha. Who's allowed to bring a karbon? From whom can we accept a karbon? And then he dedicates Perek Dalet to the mitzvah of bringing the karbon in the right way. What is the nature of the mitzvah of havas hakarbon? In this context, he speaks about bringing the karbon by day, various dimensions of the carbon that apply even at night. And then if you can, fast forward to Halacha Yud. In Halacha Yud, the Rambam writes, Kol Hazvachim Tzarcha Oved Shetia Machshavto, and the Rambam has a list of Machshavos. And these Machshavos apply to the Avodas HaKarbon. It's got to be L'Shem Zevach, for that specific karbon, l'shem baila for that specific bala karbon. The Rambam seems to somehow focus his attention on the shechita, and then he goes on to include kabbal sadam, holocha sadam, and zrika sadam al gabi mizbeach. Then in halacha yud alef, the Rambam writes v'tzarch shetia machshavto b'shas shechitas haola l'shem shisha dvarim. In the case of karban ola, there are six different dimensions in the requirement of lishma. He says l'shem hazevach, l'shem hazoveach. It's very interesting that here he used the term l'shem hazoveach. In the previous halacha, he said l'shem bailov. Then he writes shazevach l'shem baruch hu. It should be l'shem. Vishaktiro le'ishim. It should be completely burnt by the fires of the mizbeach. Vishaktarasol reach bilvad. And it should be done to create a reach. The reach zenach asruach l'tnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called the reach nichach. And then the Rambam writes, v'im shachat stam kosher. If he had no machshava whatsoever, it's kosher. So l'chatchilu we require this sixfold machshava. But the Eved, even if he shechted it stam without any kavanah whatsoever, he's missing all six kavanos. Nevertheless, the korban is kosher. The exceptions to that rule are chatos and asham. There, the machshava must be for that chet, and in the absence of that machshava, the korban is possible. That's how the Rambam completes Perek Dalet. In Perek Hey, he goes on to discuss various aspects of the avodas hakorbanos, and specifically the different dina between kodshe kodshim, that's chatos, ola, and osham, and kodshim kalim, which are shlomim, and all the subcategories of shlom. Now, the Lechem Mishnah, and later on the Magid Mishnah, are bothered by the following question. Why does the Rambam write here in Psule, in Maisa Karbonos, in Perek Dalet, the halacha of Stoma Kosher? Now we would think that in the case of Machsheva Shinui, when he has the wrong Machsheva, that should passel whether it's Shinui Kodesh or Shinui Bailim, but not the other four. Remember, the Rambam has six Kavanos that he enumerates here. As we saw earlier, out of those six, only two of them are absolute requirements, meaning absolute in the sense that they're indispensable. In their absence, the karbon is pasul. And what are those two? That shinui kodesh and shinui bailim, which are indicated here. The first two of these six, l'shem zevach, l'shem hazoveach, or in the previous halacha, it's l'shem hazevach, l'shem bailov. And these are the machshavos which are absolutely critical. The other four machshavos, for example, Hashem and Reach Nichoach, etc., those are all l'chatchila, but there's no din of shalol l'shma. There's no psul of shalol l'shma with regard to those four. And yet the Rambam seems to combine them all under one rubric, here in Halacha Yud Aleph. And then he goes on to say v'im shachat stam kosher, as if to equate the absence of machsheves l'shem zevach, l'shem zoveach, with the other machshavos of l'shem Hashem, l'shem ishim, l'shem nachas ruach, etc. So if you take a look here, he has a summary of both the Lechem Mishnah and the Mishnah Lamelech. And he says the following. He says, "Ein machsheva shinui pos on the top right of the next page." Like, you know, it's, if you follow what I mean, that you have page one, so to speak, if we can call it one, on the right side, which is actually numbered 68, and then going on to the left side, which is page lamed hey, we're on the top right. And he says, "Hello, ein machsheva shinui poselis rak b'shinui kodesh." Biafim chishiv behedjel lehepuch, gamkin kosher. He quotes a Tosis at the beginning of Zvachim, which Belineda will get a chance to look at. And the Rambam himself, moreover, in Hilchas Psulei HaMikdash Perki Gimel, says that the only machshava of Shalol Lishma that passes the Karban is a Shini Kodesh and Shini Bailin. So why does he write here that Stoma is kosher? And he doesn't set up any differentiation between the six and the two that are absolutely indispensable. So the Mishnah Melech is so overwhelmed by this question, he writes that Divrei HaRambam Kaimi Rak Al Shem Zevach Al Shem Zoveach. When the Rambam writes, quote, V'shachat Stam Kosher, what he means by Stam Kosher means that he didn't have any machshava L'shem Kodesh L'shem Bailin. But he wasn't referring to the other four, because the other four is only a din l'chatchila, so you wouldn't have to tell me that if he did it stam, the carbon is kosher. Of course it's kosher. Even if he had a negative kavan in those four, he would still kosher, the carbon would still be kosher. Avol tzarech iyun. Now we want to look at the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav is here in Hilchas Maisa Karbonis Perek Dalet, and he writes, Deharei hanach tarti kvar nokat lehu ba'alocha kodemis. It's strange that of all the six that the Rambam codifies here in Yud Aleph, two of them he had already, so to speak, spilled the beans back in Alocha Yud, shetei machshavto l'shem hazevach l'shem bailov. And now the Rambam in Alocha Yud Aleph is repeating the same thing that he told us there. And in truth, the Rambam seems to be repeating those two in order to incorporate them together with the other four into this this constellation of six kavanos. Lama chazav kofal din ze gabi machsheves kol hashisha dvarim. This is already like a Mishnah's point that if the Rambam wants to add another four to what he's already established the two, he should have just mentioned the four. Why does he feel compelled to repeat the first two? And again, the Mishnah Melech kash is that these first two are radically, fundamentally different than the other four, and yet the Rambam makes no such distinction. Okay. So now we're ready for the breakthrough of the Brisker Rav. And he's trying to analyze the halacha of Lishma and Kodshim by comparing that principle, that halacha, to Kol HaTorah Kula, meaning to the din of Lishma that we find elsewhere universally in halacha. And he says the following, that although it's true that the Iker din, the main din that we spoke about, that in the Avodas HaKarban there should be a Lishma, and Lishma should include these six different elements, that is certainly true with regard to all kinds of dinim and all kinds of halachas that require Lishma. But in all other dinim, we only ask one question: did he have Lishma, or did he not have Lishma? Either it's kosher or it's not kosher. However, with regard to kodshim, we have a unique halacha, a din miyuchad. And what is that? That machsheva shelo lishma is a dover aposel. Again, in Kol HaTorah Kula, we don't find a dover aposel. We just find the absence of a machshir. In other words, to be machshir, to generate hechsher in the get, you need a machsheva lishma. But there's no such thing as a machsheva shelo lishma aposeles. Either you have lishma or you don't have lishma. You're never going to ask the question, is there some sort of negative lishma that undermines the kashrus of the get? However, zed din mechudish bekodshim, we have a new halacha that applies uniquely to kodshim. And this halacha that a shalol lishman in kodshim is a machshava poseles, why is that necessary? You might ask, who needs this new halacha? Why not just fall back on the universal halacha that we require lishma? The answer is no. BMS, bizvachim, Stolen Lishma. We don't require that he has a kavana and machshavas Lishma. Again, as far as the unique halacha in Kachin, we may have a mirror image of the general universal requirement of Lishma that applies even to Kachin, and you must have a machshava. But as far as the Hekshar Karban is concerned, that's not a din of did he have the kavana? He didn't have to have the kavanah because the principle is stavon lishma. Right? We spoke about the fact that the karbon was designated as a karbon olah. So stavon lishma, if he does all the avodos in the proper way, then he did the avodah of an olah. And therefore the lishma is sort of inherent in the maisa avodah. However, you might think that, well, if there's no requirement to lishma in kachim, in terms of the hechshar karbon, then what if he had a negative kavanah? He had a kavanah for, in the case of an olah for shlom, that should also be kosher. No. Gam v'chashu be'edah shelo lishman, ein chaser toras lishma basiyason. You might think that there's nothing lacking in the lishma, because again, he did everything properly. The animal was designated as a karbon olah, we'll say. And in fact, in Chazina, we do see such a thing, that kodshim don't require a lishma in a positive sense. L'shem chulin kosher. If a person had a kavana, l'shem chulin means he's just shechting the animal in order to eat his basar, nevertheless the carbon is kosher. So what's this whole deal about lishma in terms of the hechshar carbon? Clearly in the case of l'shem chulin, he didn't have a kavanas lishma to be mashed the carbon. But karka, we must assume the gam v'chashav lehedja lehepach. He says that even if he had a negative kavana, maybe even in the case that now the brisker is going out on a limb, in the case we had a negative kavanah, we should still apply and activate the principle of stoma lishman, menasim beatzma lishman. In other words, the carbon sets itself up as lishman. I don't care about his machshava. So his machshava becomes totally irrelevant. And in fact, that's kind of explicit in the case of Korban Pesach. The Gemara in Pesachim Daf Samach says that in Pesach, Sheshachto Shalo Lishma, or Leshachto Lishmo Shalo Lishma, which has the same din, so either he had a Shechit of Shalo Lishma, or he had a Shechit of Lishma Shalo Lishma, Mishum Dezed Estam Lishma Kai, meaning that we can always apply the principle of Estam Lishma. So the Gemara applies the principle of stumble lishma even in the case where he had an explicit real machshav shalol lishma. And the Gemara rejects that for a different reason, because dilma shiny hechad yomim hechad the lo amar bal karchach, just skipping the brackets for a moment, do you so din ze Dizvachim b'stamul lishman omdim hu chalos din begufa karbon. This is a din in the carbon itself. Do karev memelu lishmo, that even if he didn't have a positive kavana, it's automatically considered that he had a karbon lishmo. And therefore, even if he had a machshava in the opposite, ka machshavta shechosh behedya lehepach, even in that case, he doesn't undermine the carbon, because the carbon itself inherently is lishma. But ha'demachshava shelo lishma poseles. So now you have to ask yourself the question, well, even if he had a negative kavanah, let's say he had also shelo lishma, you're telling me the carbon is kosher because stamen lishma, so what's this whole deal about shelo lishma as a machshava poseles? Who din b'fnei atzmo mi din psul machshava kichol machshava saposos v'kodshin. With regard to the entire constellation of Kodshim and Avodas HaKorbanos, we have a concept called Machshava. And within the constellation, this whole list of Machshavas, we have certain Machshavas that are Machshavas HaPoslos. In other words, as far as the carbon is concerned, the carbon has a Lishma built in. That's called Stamul Lishma. But as far as Machshava is concerned, there's such a thing called Machshava HaPoselos. And that halacha is unique to Kodshim. It doesn't apply anywhere outside the bounds of kodshim. The machsheva shelo lishma poselos, but in kodshim a negative machsheva passes the karbon. I will b'shar dvar matunim lishma, and anything else in halach that requires lishma, ikar dinim hu rak debo lishma. The fundamental din is that you require lishma, and either you have it or you don't have it. I'm a low shemachsheva shelo lishma tipasel behem. There's no new din that a negative karbon passes. A negative kavanah is the same as no kavanah. If there was no kavanah, there's nothing to generate the lishma and to do machshir. But for karbanos, here the Torah was machadish that a machshavah shalol lishma vidavra posel. Now let's see if we can put a line over here when he says Ayin b'menachos. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's make ourselves a little notation, because what I'd like to do now is fast forward to the next page for a second. And that's page 70. And if you look on the bottom of page 70, on the right column, he quotes a Tosfos at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim. Now, the Gemara discusses later on, how do we derive these six machshavos that we mentioned before? And one of them is called L'shem Zevach, right? That was the first of the six, in which you have to have kavanah for this particular karmon. Let's say it was an ola for L'shem Orla. So the Gemara says that Beit Shammai, at least, derived this requirement of L'shem Zevach from the pasuk of Ola, that just like in the parasha of Ola, the Torah says, bring the carbon Ola, which means L'shem Ola. And if you didn't bring it L'shem Ola, that's a problem. That is the basis for the requirement of L'shem Zevach, a kavana, and a machshav L'shem Zevach in all karbonah. So Ola becomes the melamed to teach us all karbonahs. And Tosa says, what's going on over here? Here in the beginning of Kol HaZvachim, of our Perek in Zvachim, Darish Shinui Kodesh Mikra Achrini. The Gemara says that there's a different pasuk for Shinui Kodesh. And that is Nadarta, because the Torah says if you brought a Neder and then you bring an Adava, the whole discussion that we had about Neder and Adava. In any event, Tosa gives the following answer. The Krada Hasam Baktoras Imurim V'hacha B'avodas Adam. Tosa says that the pasuk that we need to teach us Shinui Kodesh is needed for two different reasons, and therefore we're going to have two different psukim and two different yalfusas. Number one, we need the yalfusa of Haktoras Imurim, which means that even if the avodos were done with the Machshava Shinui Kodesh, nevertheless we're going to be Machtir the Imurim Agavim Mizbeach. And then we have to know about the Avodas themselves, which are called Avodas Dam. Dam is the prototype of all the four Avodas. Now the truth is that once you complete the process of Lishma in the four Avodas, the carbon is definitely kosher. But nevertheless, when you follow through in the next stage with Haktaras HaNurim, you also need a Machshavas Lishma. We're going to soon see that Machshavas Lishma and Haktaras HaNurim is only L'mitzvah. It has nothing to do with the Kashrus, the Hechshav, the Guf HaKarmon. Because in fact, Haktaras HaNurim is not indispensable. It's not an absolutely necessary part of the Hakravas HaKarmon. So far we're doing all well, until we take a look at Rashi on Daf Mem Vav. Rashi says, V'afal gav delav b'shchita ksiv. Now this pasuk that requires Lishma and Ola is not a reference, is not in the context of Shchita.
Still looking at the same place?
We're in line number 5 in the second paragraph of Vahine. Yeah?
The second paragraph
In other words, on the right side you have a paragraph that says Vahine. I call it the second paragraph. So if you drop down 5 lines, he writes Ulam at the end of the fourth line, going on to the fifth line, the Pirush Rashi, Bedaf Mem Vav.
Wait a second. We're on page 70?
Correct.
70.
On the bottom right.
Bottom right of the left column?
No, I mean the bottom right of the right column.
The right column.
Yeah. It says Vehine Betosvis. That's how the paragraph starts. On page 70.
Oh, page 70.
Bottom right.
Vehine. Okay, I see.
You have it? Vehine Atosvis. So if you.
Yeah,
so he quotes a Rashi on line 5. Zelishono. Viafagav to lab bishchita ksiv. The Rashi points out the pasuk that teaches me l'shem ola. It's not referring to Shechita. I mean, we were discussing over and over again that Shalom Lishma and Shechita is a real problem, and yet the pasuk that requires Lishma is not referring to Shechita.
So Rashi says, Ashkechan Levish Shlomit. You'll find a similar pasuk requiring Lishma in Shlomit, not just in Ola. Gabi Zvicha, it says over there, in the case of Shlomim, with regard to shechting the karbon, the pasuk says, "Vehikriv mizevach hashlomim ishe lashem." So the word mizevach is completely superfluous. It could have said "Vehikriv hashlomim." Why say zevach hashlomim? The word zevach could mean two different things. Zevach could mean the name of the karbon, meaning the category to which the karbon belongs, but zevach could also mean zvicha, which means shechita. And here, the word zevach, the hikriv mizevach hashlom, is referring to shechita. And what is it teaching me? Shetei zvicha l'shem shlomim, that the shechting of the karbon should be l'shma. And that halach is going to be derived from shlomim to ol. And this derivation, you can find it in the Torah's Kod, which is the Sifra on Sefer Yikra. Uladi Dei, according to Rashi, Tishar Kushas HaTosfos. Tosfos asks that the Halach of Shinu Kodesh in the case of Ola, right, is Mikra Di Ola L'Shem Ola, Hainu Shinu Kodesh. We derive it from Parshas Ola. And Rashi seems to be saying no, that we derive from Parshas Shlomim. Is Amay Matzuchin and Hocha Kroy Achrina L'Shini Kodesh? Why do we need the Pasuk of Neder and Nedava, all the different Limudim and the Alfuses to establish the Din of Lishma and Shalom Lishma? According to Rashi, we derive from Shlomim. Is the Hamay Hacha Kroy Achrina, Tzrichin Kroy Achrina, L'Shinu Kodesh. Oh. So Briska Rav wants to suggest that Trei Didi Nemru B'din L'Shma Shal Karbonos. There's one din, which we call L'Chatchila, and it reflects the universal halacha requirement of L'Shma, that a Karbon Yukrav L'Shma. The Karbon should be brought L'Shma. B'chol ma'asev you nasim l'shman. Everything that you do, all the avodas should be done l'shman. Then there's a second din in l'shma. Now on the top left, d'machsheves shinui kodesh havidora posel. You may recall that on the first side we said that there's a separate din that only applies to kodshim of a machshava poselis. Right, because universally you only ask one question: is there a machshavas lishma? Is there not a? Was there no machshavas lishma? Here we're saying, if there was no machshavas lishma and all things were equal, that'd be fine. But he had a machshava poselis. Is in Kenye Shlomar ledas Rashi debemis kroy the hasam havyon milsa lechud ukroy the achiavi milsa lechud. That even though there are two sugyas with different yalfusas, they're each respectively addressing different issues. The cry the hasam, myri luba gemara b'toros konim al masnisim d'shem shisha dvar mazevach nizbach. The halacha that we derive that six machshavas are required. Yisodam hudin to be'inon shavodos. You nasim lishman. That's a reflection of the universal requirement of lishman. Vakrod v'im zevach shlomim karbono demaisi lei bepirkin leinyan shini kodesh demar zed din sheni. The derivation in our perek from shlomim that Rashi quotes in zevach shlomim that it has to be l'shem shlomim. That's a reference specifically to shini kodesh. And that's a din unto itself, which reflects the universe, the nature of kodshim. Da zerach yukrav dafka l'shem oso zerach v'lo l'shem zerach acher. Umine yalfina demach sheves shinui havya dovra posel. So now that the Brisker Rav has established two different dinim and two different categories within the realm of Lishma, we need now to do two psukim, two yalfusas. We need one yalfusa to tell me what kind of kavana of Lishma the Kohen should have. And that's a universal halacha of Lishma. And then we need another halacha, and what constitutes a machshava haposeles. Because when we derive the halacha of shisha dvarim, a requirement of lishma, then we would say that even if it was shalol lishma, it would not pasul the karma. But now we need a new pasuk, which is zevach shlamim yukrav, and there the pasuk is telling me that you need that there should be no negative, there should be no opposite of shlamim. It should be lo l'shem zevach acher. And that's where we derive and establish the machshava poseles of shinui kodesh. That shinui kodesh with a machshava to change the nature of the karbon, havidavra posel, that is going to pasel the karbon. So we now have an answer to Tosfos' question as to why the sugyos require two different limudim. One limud which includes all six machshavos, that's as far as l'chatchila having the right machshava to be mekayim the mitzvah akrovas hakarba. But then we have another pasuk in the parasha of Shlamim, Rashi says, which establishes the din of shinui bailin, or I should say shinui kodesh. And what is that din of shinui kodesh? That din is a din of machshava poseles, that because he had a shinui kodesh and he wanted to change the nature of the karbon, that passes the karbon. And again, we said that it passes the karbon l'shem chova and it makes it into karbon and dova, and so forth. He says with Taurus Kohen amal masnisin de l'shem shisha dvar mazevat nizbach yisodamu adin to be inon sha avodos yu nasin l'shmon hakra divim v'zevach shlomim karbono maisi lei Bepirkin Le'inyan Shinui Kodesh. So he's telling us to be calm about the fact that we need V'im Zevach Shlomim Karbono to teach us the din of Shinui Kodesh. And then he writes that din sheni da zevach yukrav dafka l'shem oso zevach v'lo l'shem zevach acher minei alfi de machshev shini yavi dover aposel. That's the dover aposel. Alright, this is the part that I wanted to do with you. There's a lot more here. Now, what I'd like to take a look at is this sefer called Chidushei Hagram V'Hagrid. And this sefer, which collects many of the Rav's chidushim on kodshim, has a particular interest in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. And there's a very strange Rambam in Perek Gimel Mehilchas Avodas Kippurim, Halacha Zayin Halacha Ches. The most central feature in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim is what's called Shiluach HaSa'ir. So there are two Sa'irim, and then there's a Goral, and one Sa'ir is going to be the Sa'ir L'Shem Chatos, and that's going to be shechted in the Kodesh. The other Sa'ir is called the Sozel HaZozel, and it's sent out to the desert, and then it's pushed off a cliff. So the Rambam writes that there was a person designated to, in a sense, be, I'm using this term loosely, a shliach of the Kohen Gadol, to bring the Sa'ir out to the Midbar. And the Rambam tells us, based on Mishnayos and Yuma, how they would help out this person, the Ish Iti. They set up different stations, and he would go into these booths and take a rest, and he was well on his way to the Midbar. Oh, says the Rambam, Kevan, once he reaches the Midbar, Kevan Shehigia Soil Midbar, Yotza Kohen Gadol Li Ezras Nashim Likros B'Torah. Now we have to understand that the Ezras Nashim is outside the Kodesh, and none of the Avodas can be performed in the Ezras Nashim, but the Kriyas HaTorah could be performed in the Ezras Nashim. The only problem is that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to leave the Kodesh. So what do we do? On the one hand, we need the Kohen Gadol to complete the process of the soil Lazazel, and only then he's allowed to leave the Kodesh. Yet the Rambam says paradoxically that once the soil reaches the Midbar, we send back the message. So again, the Kohen Gadol, as long as he's involved in the Avodah, he or his Shliach, he has to stay within the Kodesh. He's not allowed to leave the Kodesh. So we would have suggested, if not for the Rambam, that at what point does the Kohen Gadol have the right, the head, to the permission to leave, exit the Kodesh and go into the Ezras Nashim to read the Sefer Torah? That's only after the Avodas HaSoyer has completed itself. Now, the Avodas HaSoyer requires that you push the Soyer off the Tzuk, off to this high cliff. And the Mishnayos describe how it's, it breaks up into pieces, breaking the bones of the Soyer. And then what happens is, there is a ribbon that's attached, half attached to the mountain itself, and the other half is around the neck of the sawyer. And when the sawyer finally hits the bottom, the ribbon on top, that part of the ribbon, turns white, from crimson red into white. That's how we know that the kapara, the ikar kapara, the machaper, the sawyer hamishtalech, was completed. Why then does the Rambam establish that once the Sarat Zazil reaches the Midbar, that's enough to allow the Kohen Gadol to leave the environs of Kedusha, of Kodesh, and go into the Ezras Nashim to read the Sefer Torah? The Mishnah itself in Yuma, on Daf Samach Ches Amid Beis, says that the Sugya that allows the Kohen Gadol to leave, to read the Sefer Torah, once he gia soil amid, but that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is, Kevan she gia soil amid, bar nases mitzvaso. But we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rambam doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. He doesn't hold that he gia soil amid, bar nases mitzvaso. Because the Gemara says that according to the Chachamim, who argue with Rabbi Yehuda, Lo nigma mitzvah shiluach rak achar dechiyah letzuk. And in fact, the Rambam himself says that the sawyer has to be sent off the tzuk like the chachamim. So in Yuma, there on Samach Chesam and Beis, the Tosi Shonim says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, as soon as the sawyer reaches the midbar, and that's called Naseis mitzvah, so Hayaloshan shel zahuris malbin, they would turn white. Because at that point, Niskayim mitzvah so, and the kapora of Sari HaMishlech is complete. And therefore, the whole din of Dechiyah Letzuk, as an indispensable part of the kapora process, and the mitzvah of Shiluch, is not accepted by Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the other Mishnah in Yuma, Daf Samach Zayin, that says, Chetzio kosher lesela, Chetzio bein karnov. And there it wasn't malbin until after the Dechiyah ben Atzuk. That reflects the sheet of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, would say, immediately when the Sawyer enters into the Midbar, that's already Nasis Mitzvaso, and the Lashon Shel Zahuris, the Lashon Shel Zahuris would be Malbin. And yet the Rambam himself paskins in Halacha Zayin, here in this Perikim of Milchus Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the Chetzio Kosher B'Sela V'Chetzio Ben Kronov V'Loya Malbin Rak Liachar Dechiyah Me'atzuk. In other words, the Rambam accepts the Sheet of the Chachomim against Rabbi Yehuda, And he doesn't apply the principle that the entire process is complete once it reaches the midbar. The Rambam requires the chiyah ben atzuk. So how then can the Rambam say that we allow the Kohen Gadol to leave the environments of Kodesh and go into the Ezras Nashim once the Sarah has reached the midbar? That would be wonderful, says the Tosi Shonim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but we pass in and the Rambam pass in like Chachamim, that the process of the Sarim Shlech is only complete after Shiluach Minatzuk, after Tachiyah Minatzuk. Now, from the Higiel and Midbar until Tachiyah Litzuk, I don't know how long that took, but during that interim, could the Kohen Gadol go out of the Kodesh and read the Sefer Torah? L'chora, we pass Nechachomim, and we have to wait till the Avodas HaSor is complete, and that'll only be complete with the Dechiyah Min Atzuk. So why does the Rambam say the Kevan Shigil Midbar is Kohen Gadol Yotze Lezus Noshim, and he reads the Sefer Torah? Now, in order to answer this question, the Rav wants to suggest that we have to understand what the halacha of Ish Iti requires. What do I mean? The Kohen Gadol has to get the Sayer over to the Ish Iti. The Gemara says in Yuma, Iti afilu bituma, shem nitma mishalcho, nichnas tomei lazara mishalcho. The Kohen Gadol is situated in the Azara. A Tommy's not allowed to go into the Azara, but for the sake of the Sayer, the mitzvah of Sayer Mishtaleach, the Shiluach HaSayer, even if this Mishaleach became Tommy, he's allowed to enter into the Azara. And why? What's pushing us to violate the Iser of Bias, of Tommy Nichtas Li Azara? It's the fact that he has to go into the Azara. Why does he have to go into the Azara? Because he has to take the Sayer. So Rav Soloveitchik asks, I don't understand. Why does the Ish Iti have to enter into the Azara? Why not just bring the Sayer outside of the Azara and give it over to him? Is Nira, he says, what it seems to be from this sugya is the Etzem Maisa Shiluach V'Kiyumo Tzarech Lios Al Yedei Kohen Gadol. Even when the Ish Iti is the one who takes the karmon, Alpidin, it's not him who's taking this sayer and sending it out. It's the Kohen Gadol himself. That's the power of Shlichus here in the case of Sayer Mishtaleach. In other words, the Kohen Gadol is obligated in an entire list of Avodos. It's called the Seder Avodas Yom HaKippur. And the Torah says in the parasha Achrimos of Sarei Mishtaleach, it says Vishilach biyad ish iti hamidbara. In other words, there's an obligation on incumbent upon the Kohen Gadol to send out the Sayer with this ish iti. Hainu, the din kiyuva b'meshem moser es hasayir l'mishalcho. At what point does the Kohen Gadol set up a process and fulfill his obligation by guaranteeing that the Ish Iti will replace him, so to speak, in the actual Shiluach? It's the Mesira. Mesira means when he takes the Sayer and he gives it over to the Mishaleach. That is a responsibility on the incumbent upon the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol. Because by being Moser, the Sayer, to the Ish Iti, he, the Kohen Gadol, is vicariously fulfilling his mitzvah of Shiluach. So physically he doesn't send the Sayer over the precipice, but Alpidin, it's as if he did so because the Ish Iti is his Shaliach. And at what point does the Kohen Gadol say, well, I did what the Torah requires me to do, and now I appoint you, the Ish Iti, as my representative, as my replacement, as my Shaliach, at the point of Mesira. The Kohen Gadol is doing the Mesira, he's handing over the Sayer, over to the Ish Iti, as per his responsibility to set up the shlichus so that the entire process could be considered as if he, the shliach, the Kohen Gadol, did it himself. If that be the case, if the Mesir itself is the culmination of the clincher of the obligation of the Kohen Gadol in terms of the avod of the Sayer, it makes absolute sense now that the Mishaleach has to come into the Azara. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol has to appoint him as his Shliach, and the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to leave the Azara. So he says, Chalos kiyum avodas hayom shel Kohen Gadol hu rak ba'azara. In other words, the Kohen Gadol is exclusively dedicated to be in the Azara and fulfill and implement all the Avodas Hayom. And therefore, if part of his Chiyuv as an Avoda is the Avodas HaSoyer, which he fulfills that Chiyuv by setting up a Shliach, then he's got to set up that Shliach in the Azara itself. The Shliach can't be outside the Azara. He's got to come into the Azara. And that will set off a process of shlichus in which the Kohen Gadol is considered as if he did the shiluach of the Sayer. Because all the avodas hayom have to be, are incumbent upon the Kohen Gadol. Okay. Now the Rav wants to suggest the following. What happens, and when does this Sayer, when does this mitzvah of Sayer, shiluach ha-Sayer fulfill itself? So the Rav suggests that there are two parts to the mitzvah of Shiluach HaSoyer. One part is fulfilled when the Soyer reaches the Midbar, and the other is only fulfilled when the Soyer is sent off the Tzuk. He says the following. As far as the obligation of the Kohen Gadol vis-a-vis the Shiluach HaSoyer, his obligation, the Kohen Gadol's obligation, is fulfilled, again vicariously through the Shliach, at the point of Higia HaSoyer LeMidbar. And even the Chachom of Rabbi Yehuda agree that from one perspective, you could say that the Avodas HaSoyer is complete when it reaches the Midbar. From what perspective? The perspective of the Kohen Gadol. When the Torah says that the Kohen Gadol is obligated in this mitzvah, the Torah says, "V'shilach biyad ish iti hamidbara." That is a pasuk that addresses the Kohen Gadol and says that the Kohen Gadol has to send the soyer together with the ish iti to the midbar. Oh, all that is derived from the pasuk v'shilach, and as the pasuk read, vayikra tezayin pasuk chaf aleph v'shilach biyad ishi ish iti hamidbara. What question is that pasuk addressing? The obligation of the Kohen Gadol. What is the Kohen Gadol's obligation? To send the soyer to the midbar. How? He's not going to take the soyer himself physically to the midbar through the agency of the ish iti. Is that pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol has to see to it that the soyer reaches where? The midbar. That's what says in the pasuk. V'shilech biyad ish iti hamidbara. But then there's another pasuk. The pasuk says regarding the soyer. This is in the same chapter in Vayikra Tezayin, but this is Pasuk Chav Beis, the very next Pasuk. It says, V'nasa ha-soyer olav eskol avonosam el eretz gzera. In other words, the soyer itself has on top of it, so to speak, all the sins of Klal Yisrael. They have to be sent out far away. This already is a different kind of din. We're no longer addressing the question, well, when did the Kohen Gadol fulfill his obligation? When can he say, I cleaned my hands, I did what I have to do? Now the Torah is addressing a different question. And that is the din in the Soyer itself, without connecting us back to the Kohen Gadol. The Soyer itself has a status of a karbon, a very unique karbon. And that unique karbon requires Dechiya Min HaTzuk. Dechiya min atzuk. And how do I know this? Because it says v'nasa ha-soyer olav eskol avonos. So it's the whole culmination of this process of the soyer is to relieve Klal Yisrael of all of the burden of all their sins. And when does that happen? When the excuse me, the sire is sent off the precipice, that's when the Lashon Shel Zehurus will turn white. That's already a din in the carbon itself. That's already a din in the sire, that the sire itself has to be sent over the cliff. So in effect, what I see here in the Rav's writings, and again this is taken with, you know, with limited liability, but I think the Rav is differentiating between Gavra and Chefza. There are two kiyumim in the Sire of Ishtalech. There's one kiyum in the Gavra, the Kohen Gadol. There's another kiyum in the Chefza of the Sire. The Chefza of the Sire means that the Sire has to be put in a position, a location, where it will generate the kapar for all the sins of Klal Yisrael. As far as the Kohen Gadol's responsibility is concerned, that's a whole different question. And here we have two psukim. One pasuk, the first one, addresses the Kohen Gadol as a Chofetz Gavra. When does he fulfill his Chofetz Gavra? The answer is when the Sire reaches what? The Midbar. But if you ask me a different question about the Gufo Shel Karma, the Chalos Din Shiluch and the Chefza of a Sire, here it doesn't have anything to do with the Kohen Gadol. It has to do with the fact that this Sire is Mukdash B'Kedusha Sire, and its mitzvah has to be fulfilled. And its mitzvah means to guarantee the kapara for Klal Yisrael of all their sins. And the Rambam holds that will happen only after Dechiyah Min Atzuk. So what? Let me have it. Are we pasking like the Chachamim, or are we not pasking like Chachamim? And the answer is, we're pasking like the Chachamim. That as far as the Avodas HaKorban, the Soyer, it's got to go off the precipice. And the Rambam is quite explicit about that. That when do we have the Kaparas Avonos? When does the crimson, the reddish ribbon turn into white? That's after the Dechiyah Min Atzuk. But now, we have something which, although it would seem to be Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, even the Chachamim accepted the Shita. And that is, when did the Kohen Gadol fulfill his personal obligation? He doesn't have to take, the Torah never required the Kohen Gadol to take the sire and send it off the precipice. The Torah only required that the process of selecting and appointing an Ish Iti should be fulfilled by the Kohen Gadol. And of course the Kohen Gadol is going to have to be in the Azor, and the Ish Iti is going to be appointed by the Kohen Gadol in the Azor, because that's the Kohen Gadol's responsibility. And when does that process culminate? When can we establish that the Kohen Gadol fulfilled his chiyuv? That's written in the word V'shilach Ish Iti HaMidbara Kevon Shehigia LeMidbar. So as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, his obligation was fulfilled vis-a-vis the Seder Ayom of Avodas Yom Kippurim, the very moment that the Sire was brought by the Ish Iti out to the Midbar. Therefore, the Rambam Paskin said at that point the Kohen Gadol could leave the Azara and enter into the Ezras Noshim and read the Sefer Torah. Why? Because he's no longer part of it. Now, from now and on, after the Higil of Midbar, it's a din in the Chefts of the Karbon, that the Karbon itself has to generate Kapara. And how does it generate the kapara? It's only after Vinasa Avonos Avonam shall call Israel off the precipice. And that's when the Rambam says the crimson ribbon, the Lashon Shel Zehurus, would turn Mislav, would turn white. So it comes out that this piece in Kodshim is very typical of what we call the Derech HaLibud. Why? Because it tells you that when you ask a question in Kodshim about the fulfillment of the mitzvah, you really have to smash it into two. You have to break it down into two different elements. You can ask about the Chovas Gavra and the mitzvah of Havas HaKorban. In the case of Avodas Yom Kippurim, the Gavra is clearly the Kohen Gadol, exclusively the Kohen Gadol, because all the Avodas of Yom Kippurim are done by the Kohen Gadol. But then you always have to ask yourself a different question about the Kiyum HaKrova in the Gufo Shel Karbon. And they're not always the same. In this case, the Gavra of the Kohen Gadol fulfills his obligation much earlier than the Karbon B'Gufo. And if we take this and put it back into the Brisker Rav that we started with in Hilkos Maisa Karbonos Perek Dalet, it comes out like this. When you talk about Lishma, you could talk about the Chovas Gavra, And you could talk about the responsibility incumbent upon the Kohen to have Machshavas Lishma, and you could break it down into six different subsets or categories, subcategories of Lishma. But then you can ask about the din of Lishma, the Gufa Shal Karban, and there what we're going to say is the following: Stavon Lishma. That the Karban itself, in some sense, is Koves Atzmo as Lashem Kodesh. If it's an Ola, it was designated as such, the personality, so to speak, the character, the nature of this carbon is it's an Ola, and all the Avodas are done as the Avodas are Ola. And that's as far as the Cheft is concerned. The Kohen, as the Gavra, he can have nothing in his mind. As we said before, his mind is completely blank. It's Stavon Lishma. And we find something very similar, I think, Rav Zevin, in his book Yishev Shitos, he brings down Rav Chaim on the case of the Akeda. You know, Avraham Avinu is a little bit perplexed because on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu ki b'Yitzchak yikar l'cha zara, and on the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Avraham Avinu kach nos bincha es yichidcha v'aleu sham li'ola, bring him up on his back. So Avraham Avinu is very confused and he never asks the question. That's the greatness of the Amun of Avraham Avinu. He never asks Akasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you tell me Haleu Sham Liola when you say Ki V'Yitzchak Yikar L'cha Zara? Because Avraham is an Amun who believes that somehow it's going to work out. Now, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that he should not Shecht Yitzchak, instead he brings an Ayel, then Avraham Avinu asks Akasha. Not that he asked the question when he was given the tzivui, when he was given the command, Haleu Sham Liola, Avraham Avinu takes Yitzchak and he brings him on to the Mizbeach. And he's got the Makolas, he's about to shecht his son. There's no reef for kashas over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised me, Kibi Yitzchak, I'm not going to ask any kashas. Now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ends the entire episode of the Akedah, and he tells Avraham Avinu to take Yitzchak off the Mizbeach, then already Avraham Avinu says, now I have to understand the oneness of you. Now I can ask you cash. Just to understand you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You told me, keep Yitzchak and call him. Then you told me, Aleh Shom Yola. Now you're telling me, take him down from the Mizbeach. How do I figure this all out? So you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him? Lo amarti lecha shachteu. I never told you to shecht him. Haleu. Take him up, Aleu Vaskeu. Take him up and take him down. So Reb Chaim says, "What does this mean? What do you mean, take him up and take him down?" Yeah. He says the following: there are two dinim in the karban. One din is the obligation of the bala karban, his chovas hakrova, and then there's a din in the karban itself, in the chetzishal karban. As far as the din of the gavra is concerned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I only told you Haleu. I only asked you to bring him up on his back. Now, there's halacha in karbonos and kodshim, the kevet sha'ola shuv lo yeri, that once it's up on his back, it has to be slaughtered, etc., with all the avodas l'shem karban. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Avraham, that's none of your business. You fulfilled your obligation. Now there's the din of the karban. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in this particular karban, Haleu Vaskeu, take him up and take him down. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as far as the Cheftzah Shal Karban, Yitzchak is the Cheftzah Shal Karban, we suspend the general rules and he doesn't have to be shechted. All he had to be done was to be brought him on the Mizbech. That was Reb Chaim. So here also, the Rav is saying that as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, there's one Chiyuv on the Kohen Gadol, and that's called that's the pasuk that says Vishilach biad ish iti hamidbara, which means to the midbar, and this ish iti is your long arm, is an extension of you, and that's how you, the Kohen Gadol, will fulfill your mitzvah of avodas hasoyer. And then in the next pasuk, the Torah establishes dinim in the soyer. The Cheftzah Shel Soyer is v'nosas avonam. It has to carry the avonas over the mountain, over the cliff. And that's when the Lashon is going to change. That's the kiyum of kaporas, soyer, v'shalef. That has nothing to do with the Kohen Gadol. So he asked me the question, why the Rambam allows the Kohen Gadol to leave the Azara to read the Sefer Torah and the Ezra's Noshim, Kevon Shehigiel Midbar, after all that's the Shita of Yehuda, not the Chachamim. The answer is that the Chachamim accepted Rabbi Yehuda as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, in terms of the Chovas Kohen Gadol. Even the Chacham agree. It says in the pasuk Hamid Bar, and that's sufficient. So therefore, Kevin Shigil and Midbar, the Kohen Gadol already can check out of the Azara. Goodbye. I'm out. I'm going into reading the Ezra's Nosh to read the Sefer Torah. But the Chachamim say, as far as the carbon itself, the Sayer, and its ability to generate a cube of kapara, that requires Vinasa Hasoyer Olav Eskol Avonosam, which means that it's a din of the Cheftishal Karbon, that it has to be sent off the precipice. Vidin Zelo Nemar Veloshak Klau Lekoin Godel. And he says that if you notice in the Rambam, in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, he writes, Yachach Mishalech Hasoyer Achai Biad Isha Mucha Lo Licho La Midbar. So it's the Kohen Gadol's responsibility, his obligation to be Meshaleach up until the point that he gets to the Midbar. That's in Perek Gimel Milchus Avodas Kachma. If you fast forward to Perek Dalet, he says, V'yakach Meshaleach Sasar L'Midbar. Again, the Rambam says L'Midbar. Harei Mefurish Kidvarenu D'Ledin Kiyum HaShiluach Shal HaKohen Gadol. All you need is Shiluach L'Midbar. V'alkein L'Ni Kriyas HaParsha that inspired the Kiyumah Eino toli bigmar mitzvah hashiluach ak bigmar mitzvahs seder avodas hayom hamuteles al kohen gadol is mutal olotzes min azara v'shapir posak haramam the takeif kshegiya asor la midbar v'kvar niskaimo mitzvah shiluach b'seder avodas hayom shel yom kippur shel kohen gadol yotze mi azara lezus nosh v'koris haparsha. And that's what the Gemara means. Kasover of Yehuda came Shigia Sarl of Midbar Nases Mitzvaso is what does Nases Mitzvaso mean? That's Koil Inyan Mitzvah Shiluach Hashayach LeKohen Gadol. As far as the mitzvahs are Kohen Gadol, is Kevin Shigia Sarl of Midbar Nases Mitzvah of the MS Lo Nigmar of Neskayim Mitzvah Shiluach. As far as the Avodas HaSoyer in the Soyer is concerned, Ella B'dechia Menatzuk. And that's a din shenemar b'cheftza shal asor. Oh, I'm happy that he reiterates this word cheftza shal asor. The tzarch l'skayim bo. That's not the obligation of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, shapir posuk haramam l'shnei adinim. One din of higia sol amidbar v'nasis mitzvah. So the Kohen Gadol is allowed to leave the azora, and then he passes the din of chetzio kosher v'sela v'chetzio ben kranov. Because that's a din in the Cheftza Shel HaSoyer and the Kiyuma Mitzvah in the Soyer itself. So this is a beautiful paradigmic example of the Derech HaLimud that we spoke about, that certain things are a Chovas Gavra, and then there's the Chovas Cheftza in the Karban itself, in the Kodshim, and in Lishma there'll be certain dinim in the Kiyum Mitzvah HaKohen in Akrova, and Lishma, and then the dinim of Lishma and the Gufish al Karban, and they're two different dinim. The only thing that bothers me, I'll be honest with you, if I could only ask the Rav, I mean, I'm not sure if it's a question or not, but as far as the Kaparas Hayom is concerned, and we're saying that the Sawyer is part and parcel of the of Lifnei Hashem Titaru, of the Tara process and the Kapar process of Yom HaKippurim, so the Rav admits, and the Rambam says it explicitly, that you need the Chiyum and Atzuk. But yet that's not connected to the Chovas Kohen Gadol. So what I find a little bit paradoxical here is that when we talk about Yom HaKippurim, it's always the Kohen Gadol. It's a one-man show. It's really a one-man show. I mean, it's not a pella that they separated him for 7 days beforehand, you know, to get him used to this whole thing. He's got an enormous responsibility and so many technical things to do and accomplish on Yom HaKippur. It's really a miracle that he survives it all. Even the Avodas HaKtoris is mind-boggling, how he's able to do it with the two hands and everything else. And now the paradox is that when it comes to the what I would call the pinnacle of Kaparas Hayom, that very moment when the Tsar is sent off the cliff, the Kohen Gadol is out of commission. He's already in the Ezra's Nashim reading the Sefer Torah at that point. How do you reconcile that with the fact that the Kohen Gadol is the Mechaper for Klal Yisrael? So I think perhaps what the Rav is saying is that, let's say, after the Sawyer reached the Midbar, Chas V'Shalom, it would drop dead. I don't know, the Sawyer got a heart attack. There would still be Kaparas Klal Yisrael, because the Kohen Gadol just has to get to that point where the process is complete, and the Kapara is notwithstanding. It's clinched, it's definite. The Dechiyah Min Atzuk is already the kium of the Sawyer in the most embellished and perfect way, bringing about and clinching the Kapara. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, again, I could be making a grave error here, that the Kapara is already clinched once it reaches the Midbar. The Dechiyah Min Atzuk is not Likuva. That's already the way the mitzvah in Sawyer is concerned. So as the Sawyer per se, in the Chefetz Shel Sawyer, it requires the Dechiyah Min Atzuk. And then we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mechapros when the crimson turns white. So that's what we have. Okay then, so I think we'll stop here.
Yes.
And that's, and thank you so much. God willing, we'll pick it up next week then.